Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The first time I went back to church, God was going, No, you need to really want me, and you need every last bit of bitterness this world has to offer, so I would never turn back to it again. And I thought at that point that God was going to make me a second-class Christian. But I learned quickly that God just began to use me again.
There are no second-class Christians in the kingdom of God. God forgives and restores us and washes us clean, completely, so we can stand righteous before Him and so He can use us for His kingdom. If you've walked away from the Lord and you know you haven't been living right before Him, we pray you're encouraged today, right this moment, as Pastor Robert shares some of his testimony on God's hand of restoration in his life. Here's part two of our Bible study in Joel 2, 25 through 32.
When I walked away from the Lord, I walked away from Him, and I walked away from Him completely too, by the way, totally and completely. But I went for a year, and the Lord took everything away from me. And I thought, I'd gone too far. I'd sinned too much. That God didn't want me back. I didn't have that feeling that I had in His presence before. That week, a buddy of mine, Keenan Boer, gave me a call. And he called me up and said, Robert, I got saved. The crazy thing is, he didn't know I knew exactly what he was talking about. But he said to me, I got saved. Come to church with me on Friday night. So I went to church with him that Friday night. And they began to play the worship music. And God just touched me. I just began to cry. It was like uncontrollable sobbing. I've said before, I don't have a cool cry. I wish I did. You know, some people cry, they're just like a stream comes down there and they cry. Not me, man. It's one of the reasons when I feel emotional from the pulpit, I just choke it up. I'm like, no, because otherwise it's like this. It's not pretty at all. People must have thought that I was absolutely crazy when they saw me sitting there all of a sudden. I was literally crying in the spirit. You heard laughing in the spirit? I was crying in the spirit as God brought me back. It was as if God said, you need to drink every last drop of this world. Like the first time I went back to church, God was going, No, you need to really want me, and you need every last bit of bitterness this world has to offer, so I would never turn back to it again. And I thought at that point that God was going to make me a second-class Christian. But I learned quickly that God just began to use me again, that the doors began to open and God began to use me again, and that God was able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And that's wonderful. That's a long story that I broke into just talking to you guys about those times that you have. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord, not just for a year, but maybe for 10 years or 20 years, or maybe you're older now and you think that God can't restore the years the locusts have eaten, but God can. Does Israel look different today than it looked way back in Joel's day? Yes. Do you look different today than you looked when you were 20 or 30 years younger? Yes. But God is still able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. But what He's talking about here is the nation of Israel, Him bringing them back into the land. He says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Israel provides as much agricultural food for the world as anybody else. I think here just recently, some other countries have bypassed them. That's how fertile the land is. And praise the name of the Lord your God. They will spiritually return to Him as well. And we've yet to see that happen. That's the next thing that's going to take place. Israel is a secular country, much like the United States has become a secular country. There are Orthodox Jews who are there, but they are a minority. Most of the Jews who live in Israel are secular, but there will come a point when they will receive Jesus as their Savior, and they will begin to serve Him. He says, who has dwelt wondrously with you. What a wonderful thing that God has brought them back into the land, that God has restored the years the locusts have eaten, that today all around Israel are people that are Jewish descendants that are there, returned to that land as God's called them. He says, and my people shall never be put to shame. Hey, here we are all of these years later, at least close to 3,000 years out from Joel's time, and God has restored the nation of Israel. they will not be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. This is a theme you find over and over again in the prophets, that God is going to bring them back into the land so that they will know that the Lord God is God. God is doing this wonderful, wondrous thing that we will know that He is God. It is a reminder to us that God keeps His promises and God will always keep His promises. Verse 28, he says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." He says afterwards, after Israel is really taken away, that he will pour out his spirit onto all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams and your young men shall see visions. Now on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon 120 of the followers of Jesus. Think of the ministry of Jesus. 3 years, Jesus preaching all around Galilee and all in Jerusalem. And there's 120 fervent followers. I would have thought there would have been more, but 120. They're gathered together in the upper room, and the room that they're in is suddenly shaken because Jesus had promised, "I'm going to go to my Father, but I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to send you another helper." And he always keeps his promises. And the Holy Spirit filled that room. And there was a wind that blew in, and there were tongues of fires that sat upon each one of their heads. They began to speak in tongues and it overflowed out of that room. And the people that were there from all around the world on the day of Pentecost, it was a feast and there were people there, said, "What are these people doing? They're drinking," because they were rejoicing in what God had done in the Holy Spirit being poured down upon them. And Peter's response was, "We're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. And I love that that was his response. "It's only 9 a.m. We can't be drunk." He said, "But this is what the prophet Joel promised, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." See, in the Old Testament, well, the first time we ever see the Spirit is in Genesis 1, verse 2, "And the Spirit was over the surface of the water." We don't know anything about the Spirit. When we think about the introduction of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was over the surface of the water. We just now found that there's a spirit. The word spirit is the Hebrew word for wind, and it is ruach, is what the Hebrew word is. We don't find the Holy Spirit mentioned again until Genesis chapter 6, where God says, "My spirit, my ruach, will not always abide with men." We find it in the creation of the world. Then we find that the Spirit pulls his way back from man at that point in Genesis 6. The next time that we find it mentioned in Genesis, it's mentioned in people, that their spirit was moved, or that God moved in their spirit, their ruach. And we learn that one of the ways that we were created in the image of God is that God has a spirit and you and I have a spirit. And then we see that God begins to give, when we get to the book of Judges especially, that he begins to fill leaders with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Old Testament, judges were filled with the Spirit, prophets were filled with the Spirit, kings were filled with the Spirit, but not the average person. And so Joel says, the day is coming when the Spirit of God will be poured out on everyone, everyone. I heard David Guzek talking the other day. He had gone to Bulgaria. It's interesting, I didn't know he went to Bulgaria. I went to Bulgaria in 1989, right after the Iron Curtain fell. He had gone to Bulgaria during that time as well. And he said that he went to speak somewhere. And the introduction for him where he went to speak was, "This is a preacher from America. He's not Billy Graham, but he's here to share with you." Now that's a funny introduction, you know? And David Guzek said that he got up and he said, "I'm not Billy Graham. I'm nowhere near what Billy Graham is, but the same spirit that's at work inside of Billy Graham is the same spirit that's in work inside of me. And I want to share with you today." What a great response, that it's not just Billy Graham that was filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's you. It's from the greatest in the church to the least in the church that the Holy Spirit has been poured down upon, not just kings and prophets and priests, but we have become a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we are now filled with the Spirit of God to go out and do the work that God's called us to do. Empowered, as we studied in Romans, that we would have the gift of faith, that we would have the gift of hospitality, that we would have the gift of mercy, that God would be working through us and around us. And so God will pour out his Spirit on us. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. I saw a vision yesterday. It means I'm young. Kidding. Verse 29. That was flying around over your guys' head for a little while. It says your old men will dream dreams. I'm not dreaming. Verse 29. And also my maidservants and my men servants and my maidservants, even the servants, the men servants and the maidservants. And I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And then that's the beginning of the church age. That's when the Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. That's the start of the church. And you have the church grow from mostly Jewish people to Gentiles. And then the church go all around the world. Jesus said on the Mount of Olives that there was going to be wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes, famines, raging of the sea. These things were the beginning of birth pains. Meaning as time goes along, they're going to get more and more intense. We're seeing that. We're seeing things get more and more intense. Maybe he was prophesying about global warming. Who knows? Maybe, or not global, what do they call it now? Climate, whatever it is. Whatever the new word for it is. Maybe he was prophesying about that. Maybe things really are changing. And he was prophesying about those things. And there would be wars and rumors of wars. And he said, don't let these things bother you, which is really a funny thing for Jesus to say. Don't let those things bother you, because they must happen. But the gospel will be preached to the end of the world, and then the end will come. So when people talk about the last days, often they talk about increased earthquakes and increased wars and increased ragings of the sea and all of those things. But really, the sign is the gospel being preached all around the world. And that's the end of the church age. The gospel is preached all around the world, and then the end will come. Now, I have a question for you. Has the gospel been preached all around the world? If there's a place that hasn't been preached, I don't know where it's at. The gospel had not gone. I mentioned the Iron Curtain coming down in 89. The bamboo curtain came down as well, and the gospel flooded in. When I went to Bulgaria the first time, you could literally stand on a street corner. You had an interpreter. You could stand on a street corner, preach Jesus, and like 200 people would gather around you. They would stop to listen to you on the road. When you would ask if they wanted to surrender their lives to Christ, almost everybody in the crowd would raise their hands. 2 years later, I went back, and when you got up on a bench to preach or found a, you know, flower bed to stand on and preach, then now there's only 10 or 15 that would come by. When you would ask if anybody wanted to give their life to Christ, maybe somebody would raise their hands. It was like the gospel flooded in, and they became inoculated to it pretty quick, but I was able to see firsthand in mission work what it was like when an area was deprived of the gospel, and then the gospel went in, and to see the hungry hearts of men and women. I was the first one to speak in a school. Sofia, Bulgaria was the headquarters of the KGB. And I was the first one to speak since the KGB began there in this public school about Christ. It was an all-girls school. And as I preached to them, they literally began to cry. The gospel literally has been preached around the world and is being preached around the world today. I believe that he could come back at any moment, and that's the sign. And then he says, then he breaks to the end of the church age. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So Daniel tells us that there are 69 weeks of years that are determined for the nation of Israel. That's Daniel chapter 9. 69 weeks of years determined for Israel. From the time the going forth of the command to rebuild the walls until the Messiah is cut off, but not for himself, will be, 483 years, I think, right? 490 would be 77s. So 483 years. And from the time the command went forth until Jesus was almost exactly that to the date. I've explained it to you before that because we don't know how to deal with zero, we don't know whether it's 32 or 33, but it comes to 32 or 33 AD, the very time Jesus was on the scene and was cut off, not for himself. But then it says there's 1 7 left, and that a man would arise from the people who destroyed the city. And the people who destroyed the city is Rome. So a man with the connections to Rome is going to arise. He's the Antichrist, and he will make a peace treaty with many for 1 week of sevens, for 1 week. That's 7 years. That's why when we get into the book of Daniel and we get into the book of Revelation, we have the last 7 year period. It's the final seven of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. And it's broken up into two sets of 3.5 years, the tribulation and the great tribulation. In the beginning of the tribulation, the Antichrist comes on the scene. The wealth of the world explodes. The world all around becomes wealthy. By the way, do you know that there's a poverty level for the world? There's a poverty line in the United States. There's a poverty line all around the world. And the number of people that are rising to the poverty line and beyond it worldwide is skyrocketing. We're living in a day when the wealth of the world is growing at an incredible rate. It doesn't mean that most people are above the poverty line around the world today, but it does mean that we're moving in that direction rapidly. And that's a sign of the last days. Again, the world, whole world becomes wealthy during these first 3.5 years, but stuff begins to happen. A meteor hits the ocean and contaminates part of the water. A meteor hits the ground and contaminates the ground. There's something called wormwood, and there's these weird scorpions that begin to happen. And there's these events that happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period that they begin to understand that everything looks better than it's ever looked. But the Bible also says that the earth will begin to topple to and fro like a drunk man. The axis, it's believed, of the world has shifted in one time in the past. Maybe during the time of the flood, by the way, because it would be so violent if it shifts. And if it shifts again, what would it be like and what would be the devastation be? And so then the Bible says that's the beginning of the great tribulation. And in the great tribulation, the stars fall from the sky. The heaven and the earth is shaken. You ever been in an earthquake? We were sitting in my living room here in Tucson, and we were playing cards with the family, and we had some lights that were above the card table, and the lights were kind of like, it had a bar across the top and hanging down, and the lights started to sway. And I'm like, why are those lights swaying? And we look out, and the swimming pool is coming out of the water. It's just coming out. You can't really feel anything, except maybe a little nauseous. And then we turn on the news, and sure enough, I think it was the epicenter was in Yuma. Remember this? It was like 8 or 9 years ago. There's an epicenter in Yuma, and there was an earthquake in the area. Now, it didn't really scare us, because it wasn't like, it was just like, something's weird. Something ain't right. Maybe you've been in an earthquake that's like a really shaking earthquake, but can you imagine the heavens and the earth shaking? Not only earth shaking, but the heavens shaking, and the stars falling from the sky. And there comes a point in the great tribulation period where men begin to hide under rocks and cry out, "Hide me from the Lamb who sits on the throne." They begin to realize that God had prophesied that these things were going to happen. It's not like the Bible's going to disappear. People are going to be finding out that this is what the end of the world is all about, and they will be terrified, and God will finally bring his judgment. So this comes all the way to the very end, the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, and I love this, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That anyone in that time that is living in that day when the world is literally coming apart and the Lord is returning, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on him today can be saved, and any of them can be saved. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave us an example of a man who was crucified, who called out and got saved. And anyone at any time can call out and get saved. If you're here today and you're not going to follow Jesus and you're ever in a plane wreck and you're going down, call out upon the name of the Lord. Remember this message and call out upon the name of the Lord. It says, "For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, they shall be delivered." God will deliver the nation of Israel during all of this time. Remember, the Antichrist makes war against Israel, and God protects Israel, and they will be protected. And finally, the end of verse 2, "As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." And we learned in Romans chapter 11 that God has kept a remnant of Israel around. Other nations have come and gone. When is the last time you met a Hittite or an Edomite or a Jebusite or a Moabite? All these other people groups that lived around Israel. But you meet Israelites. You travel to Israel today. And God has said that that will be the nation that will remain. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have restored the years that the locusts have eaten for the nation of Israel. We know that that is the promise that you make here in this book. But Lord, we also know that you do it for our lives as well. And I pray for those that maybe years ago they walked away from you and they feel like there's no way that anything could be restored, that you would show them that you restore everything. And that even as you said of Israel here today, that you would give them plenty, that their lives would be overflowing with plenty. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. I also pray for those who are here tonight who don't know you, that even as it says at the end of this book, when the world's coming unglued, that they would call out upon the name of the Lord and they will be saved. What an awesome picture that even in the midst of the last disastrous things that happen on the face of this earth, that you are going to be saving people. You indeed are a wondrous God. Even as Joel said, what wonders you have done. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. By the way, I wanted to warn you a little bit. Every so often, because the Bible talks about the moon turning red and the sun going dark in the last days, every once in a while during an eclipse, during the eclipse of a moon, a blood moon or a harvest blood moon or the Shemitah, you're going to get people who are going to say the end of the world is coming. Usually happens in September because that's during the harvest time. And they connect the trumpet of feast, which happens at harvest time, with the return of the Lord. And then the trumpet will sound and the Lord will return, the Bible says. So they connect that last feast with it. And just beware of all those things. Don't only be aware of them. Beware of those things. Because it's not about an eclipse. It's not about the moon turning red. It's about everything coming apart. It's about the moon being darkened and yes, turning blood red and the sun being darkened and everything just coming unglued. It's talking about the very end of the world. You and I have been promised that we will be kept from the hour of testing that is coming upon the whole earth. I love that we're going to be in his presence, but I hate that this earth is going to go through it. But I found great encouragement in this passage today, where it says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That even those that are around at the very, very end could call out upon him and be saved. And I believe there will be people who will. Therefore, if it's in our day, and who knows if it will be, but if it is, then we want to live our lives in such a way that people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because who knows? They might not call out upon the Lord when we're with them, but they might call out upon the Lord right before they die.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.